Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Jay Noon.
And you guys had been gone in Mexico together. Was it a romantic getaway, or what were you guys doing there?
It wasn't really that romantic for me and my wife, because we brought Colin. But no, I'm only kidding. It wasn't. We didn't have any time for romance, the wife and I, for sure, because we brought the kids. And we were just really busy, and you know, it was a really, really good time. In a nutshell, Anarchapulco is essentially Pork Fest without the riffraff.
Oh,
so
I was there. What are you talking about?
You're not a riffraff, Colin.
He's the Pork Fest riffraff.
I don't think so. the thing with Colin is people don't, you know, is he likes to point out the riffraff. And he and expose them, and then they cry and go get a little nutty and get all upset. But generally, the people he's pointing out are the ones who are really, you know, who've been getting their dopamine hits from creating drama online, anyways. But anyways, back to Anarchapulco. So an interesting thing about Anarchapulco was at this place called the Secret Garden, which is like, I don't know, probably a. The area that we were in, I would say it's like a 6 or 7 acre campus. That had a bunch of like beautiful stonework there. It was pretty, you know, tore up by the hurricane. But they do a lot of like all kinds of. It's like a healing place. It's like sort of the Secret Garden's like when you first walk in, you know, the Reiki symbol. Like all the people that are into Reiki have that Reiki tattoo. My wife even has a tattoo on her back. I don't even know what it's called, but like that's like. When you first walk into the place, there's that symbol. Maybe somebody call it. And
I don't know. Is it Om or something?
Right. Yes.
Oh, it is?
I believe that's what it is. Yeah. So, and then you walk around there and there's all kinds of like, it's basically like a healing place. It's owned by a doctor, who I believe he's a holistic doctor, Dr. Carlos. I talked with him several times. Great guy. And he had a really excellent staff there. The staff was really, really good. Bunch of, but I mean, just a Mexican, like men in general. I really enjoyed like their attitude, especially towards my kids, because in the U.S., like most men like don't give like kids like a smile. I've noticed they're not like what a lot of them will do with like kids, like especially my kids who are like, you know, unvaccinated, so they're really healthy and they're like, you know, they're full of energy all the time and they're all charged up and they're, you know, getting into stuff and they're running around and they're just, you know, they're unstoppable. You know, they're 2.5 and 4. And so like men in the U.S., and there's a lot of them that just aren't fathers, the best I can tell, but like they'll more like be kind of annoyed, you know, that there's a kid making noise or a kid being a kid. But like the Mexican men, whether they were like, you know, in their young 20s or maybe, you know, late teens, right up to old men, were like really, really friendly to my kids. Like they would smile at them. They would say hi to them. A lot of times I'd have cash on my shoulders walking around. You know, he's 2.5 years old and we're walking a lot down there. We put on a lot of, we just walked a lot. And Cash, he just can't keep up with us. He's so little. So it wears him out, you know.
Oh.
And so he'd walk on my shoulders a lot of the time. And then in Cyprus, she'll walk pretty good, and Shannon would carry her a bunch. But he'd be on my shoulders and, like, just walking, like, random, like, you know, Mexican men would, you know, give Cash a fist bump, as, you know, give him a high five, and you know, they would say something in Spanish that, you know, sounded nice and polite. I don't even know what they were saying, with a smile. So the culture when it comes to families, definitely in, you know, with the people down there in Acapulco, is very, very strong, and I felt that.
I'm always telling whenever there's like a bunch of conservatives on the internet saying like we need to close the borders because of these Mexicans. I'm always saying like they are more family valuing Christian than you guys.
So I worked with a fella down there. His name's Oscar. He was one of the employees for the Secret Garden. Well, anyways, back to the Secret Garden a little bit. So the Secret Garden is sort of like a holistic / spiritual like healing thing. So there's like a lot of like yogi mentality, a lot of like Ram Dass influence with, you know, some of the structure and the art. I don't know if you guys know who Ram Dass is.
He's like a Buddhist guy.
So, yeah, something. I and I'm just paraphrasing my wife. She knows more. She really appreciated like a lot of what was down there because, you know, she's sort of been in that, you know, realm. You know,
massage therapist.
Right. She's been a massage therapist her entire career, and she's very much into that like spiritual, you know, connection to Mother Gaia kind of things. And
well, before we get into more of Acapulco, we do have a caller on the line. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, I tell you, former Attorney General Kelly Ayotte is endorsing Donald Trump for president. She's a Republican for U.S. Senator, and she ran for U.S. Senator, and now she's running for governor, but she was the Attorney General. And so, you know, here you have this guy, candidate who swindled students at so-called Trump University, defrauded New York banks, stole secret documents, solicited a felony from the Georgia Secretary of State, and incited an insurrection. So I guess, you know, he earned the endorsement of a Republican former attorney general.
He incited what?
An insurrection.
Oh, okay.
The attack on the January 6th, 2021. I mispronounced it by blunder, but I didn't mean to. New Hampshire's former attorney general, Kelly Ayotte, says, you know, oh, well, I guess he'd be perfect.
What evidence do you rely on that Trump incited an insurrection? Because I've heard that talking point from a whole bunch of these mentally ill libtard leftists constantly, and I've listened to his speech, and he didn't say anything about doing violence, aggressing towards people. You know, he was, you know, from what I could tell, he was like, you know, be peaceful, you know, and even like Owen Schroyer, who is an InfoWars journalist, you know, did like 60 days in jail over this January 6th thing, and he wasn't even there. He was just like reporting on it. Like this idea that it's an insurrection is absolute mental illness on the part of these, you know, libtard left that have, you know, which is a whole bunch of people that, best I can tell, that they have been in institutionalized, government-controlled education programs their entire brain development years.
They don't even know how to think about these things. I was talking with a family member, and they were like, oh, well, you know, Trump and all this stuff with, you know, the legal stuff that's going on right now and how he, you know, misvalued whatever, Mar-a-Lago. And I was just like, come on, you know this kind of thing, like in business with the valuation of properties, that goes on all the time. And the only reason they're going after him is because he's, you know, run for office and been president and all that sort of stuff. And then I went further and I said something about, what was it? How can you even determine what the proper value of something is? Like, people list houses all the time, and then they sell for a different price. And the bank has their own due diligence. Anyways, I don't need to go off too much on a tangent. But the point is, like, those are the questions that naturally come to my mind when I hear about something. I'm like, how did that even happen? A lot of times you hear a story, and you just know from the get-go it's bunk when you hear, like, just some of the details, like the Josie Smollett thing, you know, where he claimed that, you know, he was attacked by Trump supporters. And it's like in downtown Chicago. It's like, yeah, that's the hotbed of Trump supporters.
Mm. So yeah. What evidence do you rely on? Is your name Tom, caller? Tom?
No, I'm Tom. And, well, there's the first of all, he was talking to the some of these organizers beforehand. I mean, this wasn't just something spur of the moment. These people were going down there planning this attack on the Capitol. They came down there. They had it all figured out where they were
going to
go.
Like Ray Epps, right?
And,
Ray Epps was one of the organizers. You know about him?
Who?
Ray Epps. He's
okay,
on videos. He's on videos saying, "Let's go in there. Let's go in there now. Let's storm the Capitol." You know, he wasn't arrested or anything. They finally, after it was a whole bunch of pressure to do something to him, they did do something to him.
I thought they found out he was an FBI agent.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was.
And as he was saying that, "Let's storm the Capitol," all the people around him said, "Hey, this guy's a Fed," and they were calling him out. But, you know, I've got another question for you, if you don't mind. You live in New Hampshire, right? Do you live in one of the rural areas? Do you have, you know, friends who have farms and stuff like that?
I don't have friends that have farms, no.
Okay.
I'm a suburban.
Oh, okay.
Suburban.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm just thinking, I'm like, you know, if they had planned to, like, actually overthrow the government that day, there would have been a lot more guns there, and I don't think there was a single gun in Washington, D.C. that day other than the ones that the Capitol Police used on some of the, let's call them protesters, but whatever.
Yeah, the one that was used to kill Ashley Babbitt.
Well, I think that your main point here, Tom, is just that Trump isn't like some kind of a good guy. He sucks, and this lady, Kelly Ayotte, is now simping for him. And
she sucks, too.
She sucks.
When
yeah,
she was Attorney General, she didn't do anything about the child trafficking rapist at DCYF. And it was reported to her many, many times of all kinds of stuff going on. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on Twitter about how when she was Attorney General that she was giving clear evidence of how to, like, you know, what's going on with DCYF and other government agencies and with the child trafficking. And also she was... a lot of this, you know, these things with the Sununu DCYF house, the juvenile detention center, where all those kids were being, you know, raped and sodomized and told to fight each other and they were being beat and, you know, all this stuff, horrible things that were going on there. She didn't do anything about that either. And she was informed about it.
That's a party of law and order. That's a party of law and order for you, you know?
Well, whether they're Demopublicans or Republicrats, it's two different wings of the same bird. You know, I really think all this stuff with Trump is purposeful. I believe that this is part of the you know, the circus, part of the WWF programming that the government is doing, that this, you know, is happening. Every time they bring an indictment against Trump, Trump's base gets stronger and stronger. And what's happening is, because this stuff is so, anybody who's got two brain cells to rub together, who understands what's going on, these attacks on Trump are so, you know, unfounded, so blatant, and it is 100%, you know, weaponizing of, you know, the DOJ, the FBI. To attack political opponents. And it's happening here in New Hampshire, too. Like, you know, Free Staters are definitely getting attacked. Anybody who's pro-libertarian, and basically anybody who's against the whole mental illness, you know, leftist libtard narrative is one way or another is getting attacked. And we have many, many examples of this. And I believe that this is a setup for a hard, hard pendulum swing to the right. Because a whole bunch of Democrats are even... getting fed up with, like, Joe Biden. They understand that Joe Biden, for example, is, you know, he's a straight up pedophile. You know, his daughter, you know, put that in her diary. You know, you see all the stuff with all of the nonsense and all of the things with his son that they've been able to get away with. And the guy can't even put a, you know, frame a sentence. You know, my 2-year-old son, you can have a better conversation with him than you can with Joe Biden. Seriously. And, you know,
The reason they're not getting an education is because they're forced to go to public school and people are forced to pay school taxes and you got cops running around enforcing these things. So remember, it's all the fault of cops.
No, it's not all the fault of cops. Cops are just pawns in a rich man's war against the people. So I could tell you, like, you know,
I like to blame the people who pay the taxes that fund the system, but...
ultimately, cops are the ones who are doing the actions to put things in place.
Yes and no. I tell you, I have had a lot of police interactions. 90% of the police interactions I have had have been positive.
Okay, well, 90% of the police interactions I have
like our
had
friend Shiloh,
have been negative.
Our friend Shiloh, who got, you know, is a pregnant woman, who got, you know, her window busted out of her car.
Whoa.
The other day and got dragged out of the car.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, she got arrested, what, 2 nights ago?
I knew she got arrested for, like, not having a driver's license, but I didn't know any details like what you're saying.
Yeah, she got, they busted the window, and they violently dragged her out of the car.
Oh,
this
my
cop.
God.
And she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And she informed the cop she was pregnant. And but anyways, there are definitely some psychopath cops, and there are some good cops, but it kind of depends on, you know, what the mindset of this cop is. I mean, right now we have two different cultures in America. We have urban liberal type culture, where for generations most of the city urban liberal type people have been basically on welfare.
I'm here to
you know
represent
what, Jay,
that.
I've seen cops in rural areas do those same sorts of things. So.
But yeah, I'm just saying, but most of the cops I've dealt with in city areas and rural areas have been actually really good to me.
Well, let me just point out how hit and miss it is, because, you know, you're in Hitaker, and Ware, the next town over, they are out of control of that town.
Yep.
They have been, they still are. Like, you hear on the radio, if you have like one of those scanners, they'll just go on these sprees and just pull people over. And I'll see it. Like, the first time I see a car pulled over, if I'm driving, because I have to drive through there a lot, I'll be like, okay, they're doing that again, so, you know, it's going to be like this for like a day or two, where they're just harassing everybody for the crime of being on the public road, essentially, but they never do that in Hitaker, so,
But the real problem is I really think the problem now is the internet, and, of course, academia. So, especially for, like, you know, if you start looking at, like, the IQ levels of the culture of the city urban liberal type versus basically rural America, you know, and a lot of the white supremacists, you know, that are floating around Twitter and stuff, they want to say that, you know, like, black people have a lower IQ than white people. I don't think that that is an accurate statement. I think that the people who have been fifth generation welfare recipients living in these cities have a lower IQ than the people who haven't been living in cities, because the cities are polluted, the air is damaged. When a welfare mom, you know, has a baby, you know, it isn't likely that she's eating organic food and taking care of herself. She's, you know, consuming fluoridated water, or she's
seed oils in the formula.
One of my friends is actually a big cheese in a regional a supermarket here in the Northeast. I'm not going to say the name. And she told me that they have all the data on the kind of foods that the people with using EBT cards are buying. So they know how old the people are. They know basically how many kids they're feeding, because they have like an app that like you can get points, and like if you, you know, and then you can, you know, put for each kid, you know, what kind of food they want. So what they're doing is, so a lot of these welfare moms, for example, and you just walk around.
That's the beginnings of the CBDC, right?
Right. Yeah, just walk around on the 5th of the month in Manchester. There's a market basket right downtown Manchester.
Hmm.
You see the kind. So the woman that's buying food for her kids has, you know, a several hundred dollar hairdo.
Hmm.
She has, you know, $1,000 iPhone. She has a couple hundred dollar nail, you know, whatever, when you get your nails done, right?
She's got nails did,
whatever. And so what she has to do is she has to buy the maximum amount of calories, you know, versus dollars. So what is her shopping cart full of? All kinds of sodas, because sodas are cheap. All kinds of, you know, like sugary, you know, cereals and junk food.
They probably
and,
say that, oh, my kids only drink soda, too. You know, I'm drinking soda now, but it's the Mexican kind, so
The multiple packs of zebra cakes, all this, everything that's made with
that
all,
was my favorite.
Everything that's made with all the government-subsidized stuff, like the canola oil, the cotton seed oil, the you know, the high fructose corn syrup, even the sugar. And when it says sugar, it's from beets. And sugar beets are sprayed with a lot of Roundup and all kinds of other, you know, fungicides and chemicals and,
yeah,
you know, stuff.
Yeah, what I want to do next is just, like, get really good quality, like, organic sugar. Because
it's
like,
called maple syrup.
I love maple syrup, but it doesn't work for everything I need sugar for.
But anyways, so, and Jordan Peterson talks about, and I put a lot of study into, you know, how not to screw up your kids. My Anarcho-Poco presentation was how not to F up your children.
I got a
standing ovation for it.
Nice.
Was, I couldn't believe how much positive response I got from it. Anyways, so when children are born, the day a baby's born, he pretty much has his maximum IQ right then and there. And it is very, very challenging to increase IQ in a child, but it is relatively easy to reduce the IQ of a child. And the way that you can easily reduce the IQ of a child is basically feed it a whole bunch of junk food. So the welfare moms are being told, oh, don't breastfeed. Here is this stuff that they call Similac or Enfamil, which is basically breast milk flavored Coca-Cola, if you start looking at the ingredients on it. And so that doesn't build a strong brain. So, and then, so they're feeding the kids formula. They're feeding them all kinds of government subsidized junk food that they're buying, you know, in the cities, and, you know, versus, you know, the earthy, crunchy, you know, mom that, you know, has the means and has a good supportive husband and, you know, isn't on the welfare. Like, I can tell you, my wife, she's like only buying organic things for the most part. And all summer long, we're not even buying any produce because we grow it all. And, you know, we haven't bought meat in like 3 or 4 years because we raise all our meat. And, you know, I'm pretty, you know, anal about what I feed the livestock. I feed them basically stuff that I can confirm has no pesticides on it, no herbicides on it. Definitely, I've had some of my grains and stuff tested for glyphosate. So what's happening is the people in the cities, they have been getting their IQs diminished right from the start just because of the environmental poisons and the diet that a lot of these city urban liberal types are feeding. And not all city urban liberal types are actually on welfare. You know, some of them, well, and, you know, but a lot of them are of the parasite class. There isn't too many non-parasite people that are, you know, working careers that are living in a city.
Well, you know,
there are
some. It's also, but it's just the poorer ones, because the wealthier ones can go to like a Whole Foods or places like that.
Well, right. Even Whole Foods is just a bunch of crap that is just put in different packaging.
Well,
like, even
Trader Joe's. I mean, the vegetables are probably fine, I would imagine, there, or better.
Probably just like pesticide spray too.
Yeah, there's a lot of greenwashing going on with Whole Foods. Okay. But the thing is like when it comes to whatever you're consuming for food, you know, we should only be, you know, eating what our great grandparents were eating. And most of our great, you know, the grocery stores the way they are today didn't exist until the
70s. I hate to
tell
you, my great grandparents were cannibals, so that's
okay. Well, so but except for Colin's great grandparents, but you know, 100 years ago, there was no grocery stores, and pretty much everybody knew the guy that produced their food. And when you're living in a city, it was a farmer's market everybody went to buy their food. And it was farmers that came in from the country into the city that brought it in there. It wasn't like all these grocery stores and stuff like there is now.
What do you think the root cause of all the craziness that the clown show we see on the news every day, what do you think the root cause of that is? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. 603-283-6160.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. President Biden is announcing the construction of a port on the Gaza coast by the U.S. to facilitate aid delivery in his State of the Union speech. According to administration officials, Biden will instruct the U.S. military to lead the mission. Pressure from within his own party urging assistance for Palestinian civilians affected by the Israel-Hamas conflict has been mounting on Biden. Sweden has been formally accepted as a member of NATO. The Swedish Prime Minister traveled to Washington, D.C. Thursday to deliver the necessary paper paperwork for admission in a ceremony alongside Secretary of State Antony Blinken. United Airlines plans to reduce its pilot hiring pace. New hire classes will be put on hold in May and June, but are projected to recommence in July. The decision to pause hiring stems from new aircraft certification and manufacturing delays at Boeing, according to a memo distributed to employees. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You control, and 603-283-6160 is the number you can call. That's 603-283-6160. Are you tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? Well, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. You can live your life on Dash with bitrefill.com, where you can buy gift cards from big retailers, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. And with you in the studio tonight on Free Talk Live, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Jay Noon.
And we do have some on the line. We have Danny calling from, I think, Mexico. Danny, what's on your mind?
Oh, I guess, yeah, Jay reached out to me and said to call in. I'm calling from Chiapas and down here working on a project.
Yeah, you work on a lot of projects, don't you, Danny?
Yeah. It
like
keeps
building?
Me busy.
Yeah, Danny's been a contractor.
Yeah, building, blockchains, all kinds of good stuff. I worked alongside of a couple of free staters, actually, with guys who work with Hush that built the tools that help us build Dragon X and the new crypto Tumen, which is a physical Mexican currency that a bunch of anarchist Mexicans got together, fought the government off, and started their own currency. And it's a paper currency that's been going for almost as long as Bitcoin.
Wow.
And when I met them a couple of years ago, I said, well, why aren't you digital? And they said, we don't know how. So You know, the guys at Hush helped me put something together for them, and they have a blockchain now. So I'm here teaching them how to use it and helping them to get a marketplace going.
Did you say it's Cumin? It's Cumin?
Cumin.
Cumin,
Cumin
is it backed by anything?
Nahuatl word.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's backed by the community. It's it's an indigenous word that means money. Hmm. And basically it's not backed by debt. It's backed by the goods and services of the community. So there's six different regions in Mexico that are using this right now, over 3,000 users. And basically you have to accept 10% of your purchase in Tumen to become part of the Tumen community. So it's sort of like a reward point that just drives business. It's just building a circular economy.
That's pretty cool.
There's a lot on YouTube about it. It's a really interesting story. When it started in a university, and then it started kind of bled out into this little town called Espinal in Veracruz. And when the Bank of Mexico heard about it, they decided to sue them, saying that it was counterfeit. So they did a little bit of legal studies and found out that there were protections under the Mexican Constitution that allowed for indigenous rules and economies, and they were able to beat them.
Nice.
And when that happened, the TV and radio got a hold of it, and, you know, people around Mexico started hearing about it, so it became popular in more and more areas.
That's so cool. It's kind of like the Liberty Dollar, yeah, but without getting completely destroyed by the feds.
Right, yeah.
Well, this sounds like the bank tried. But see, in the United States, the bankers have this kneecap alignment agency called the FBI
right.
You know, protects their interests. And it sounds like the Bank of Mexico actually had to go do a lawsuit, like it was like, you know, some kind of like, you know, regular business would have to go try to do a lawsuit if somebody was trying to, you know, if they wanted to straighten somebody out. But it's good that the Bank of Mexico didn't prevail there.
That's really awesome. That's a
right.
really cool thing to hear about. And I'm glad that you got them set up with a blockchain on there.
Yeah, and it's a Zcash fork. So they weren't even looking for privacy, but they got it anyway. So
nice.
So Danny, the reason I wanted you to call in is because I wanted you to tell I'm trying to pimp out Anarchapulco here while I'm on the air at Free Talk Live. Because
yeah.
it was a great event. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I'd like to see it not cost, you know, Jeff Berwick $50,000 out of his pocket, first off. You want to encourage people to buy the replays. And I'd like them to use my affiliate code, which is JJAY at anarchapulco.com tickets. And so, Danny, what was your, did you get to watch any presentations while you were there? Because I know you were pretty busy.
I watched yours, and I watched Curtis Stone's, which was really interesting.
Yep.
He's the regenerative farmer.
Hmm.
And there was a couple of others. I definitely avoided the flat earth as much as I could. And, of course, Crypto Day. I was MC for Crypto Day, so I, kind of had to watch all that, but. That was good anyway.
What was your favorite?
Pretty interesting.
Favorite presentation at Anarchapulco?
The kid from Argentina who came down and had started Monero Town. So
the basketball
his
playing
town,
one?
Is soccer.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So he had a soccer team there. They're trying to get the girls' basketball team sponsored, by the way. But they illegalized betting, wouldn't let them bet, or somehow they shut it down. So they heard about what was going on in El Salvador, and they decided that they would do that where they are. But Bitcoin was too expensive to use, so they reached out to the Monero community, and the Monero community helped them get that going. And now 70% of the town accepts Monero. So the barbers, the hotels, the coffee shops, everything. They're all taking Monero.
And where is that town at?
It's in our northern Argentina.
It's Ibera. It's with an I. It's Ibera.
Right. Yeah.
I heard about this from Ian.
So that right. would have been on the Crypto Day. So each day of each day of Anarcho-Poco had a different theme. Like I presented on Thursday, which was like a living sovereign living day. Then there was a crypto day. Do you know off the top of your head what the other themes of the other days were?
Flat Earth.
Like Anarchia and I don't know, there was like yoga and plant medicine type stuff. And I mean, I had so much other stuff to do that,
right.
You know, those aren't things that I'm really into, but other people seem to like them. So
regenerative
I'm just
farming,
you know,
crypto's
my thing.
Regenerative farming sounds really interesting. I'm into listening to people talk about that because it seems like it's the most natural way to go. Like, you're getting off of pesticides and letting, like, your cows poop on the grass, and then it's more fertile instead
right.
of using fertilizers
right.
and pesticides.
Yeah, and using the rest of the animals. I mean, I was just watching something before Jay sent this message about Harris Ranch, where he's using the chickens and the pigs and the sheep and the cows, and they just all work together. Work together symbiotically
rotational
fertilize the soil and
rotational grazing.
Yeah.
So the thing with chickens, when you run cattle and then you run your chickens over and then you run your pigs over, or you run your cows, your sheep, so they're all different species, so they all have different parasites. So the thing is when you just have a whole bunch of cattle on the same part of land, the cows eat all the same grasses. And then they just keep on, you know, tearing it up the same spots, and the soil doesn't really get to heal. But if you take your cows off that pasture, and then you put your sheep on that pasture, then the sheep will eat, like, you know, different grasses than the cows and weeds or goats
this
or whatever.
This guy's running the sheep and the cows together because the parasites that are in the sheep actually help the cows, and the parasites in the cows actually help the sheep.
So by running them together,
it keeps them healthier.
It's just cool that, like, God worked that out already. Like, you don't have to go and create stupid fertilizers and destroy the earth. You can just do things naturally.
So, you know,
God already
figured
it all out.
The way you look at nature, and all animals are kind of everywhere already, so they're already in the same places. You know, the idea of, like, having a field where you just have one kind of animal, like, that's unnatural.
This guy's story was that it was a family farm for over 130 years, and sometime in the 40s they had started using ammonium nitrate or whatever, whenever it came around, and it kind of destroyed their soil, and nothing else would grow. So they stopped that and started using this organic farming, and it took them a while to get out of the hole, but now it's super profitable and everything works perfect.
Yeah, the synthetic manure started coming out in like the 50s, and then it started getting kind of subsidized in the 60s. So it was actually so to put synthetic manure down on your ground as a crop farmer, for example, it was way easier to apply than the manure. And the problem with manure is it had a lot of seeds in it from, like, other, you know, crops that you didn't, you know, really want growing, let's say in your wheat or in your corn or in your barley. Barley was a real big thing that was a problem keeping, like, other grains out of. And so the synthetic manure was, they got all the farmers hooked on it. And what it's worked out to today with farming is you're basically not going to make a living as a farmer in the U.S. unless you're government subsidized. And in order to get that government crop subsidy, federal crop insurance, you have to use Monsanto growing practices. So you have to use all these synthetic fertilizers, synthetic all these herbicides and chemicals.
That's just evil.
Like if you are a government subsidized crop farmer and you're raising a crop of corn, you are required to put a minimum amount of Roundup on the corn every year.
I have noticed differences in my mood and outlook and energy and, like, lack of brain fog just because recently I cut out corn.
Yeah.
It's in so much stuff, and I've just always been like, oh, whatever, it's just vegetable, but it's not just the fact that I didn't know it was actually PUFAs in the body, polyunsaturated fatty acids, which are also the problem with seed oils. I didn't know that it turns into PUFAs in the body, but also, so I learned that recently, the other thing is just what you're saying, that it's all covered in glyphosate.
Yeah, so the problem with glyphosate, it's a mineral inhibitor. And I did a podcast with a guy the other day. Actually, I met an anarchopoco. And I can't remember the name of his podcast off the top of my head to pitch it. But we were talking about, like, when the crop sprayer, when they're spraying that Roundup, like, when it drives over you, if you're underneath it, you don't even feel the actual product that is dropping it. It's such a small amount. So basically all you literally need is one drop. So like the minimum requirement is 48 ounces per acre of Roundup to be put on the corn. So they take 48 ounces and it gets mixed with, you know, like 70 or 80 gallons of water. And then that's dispersed over an acre roughly. And it's a very, very fine mist. Mm. And the Roundup is really sticky. They actually also...
So it's oily and sticky. Yeah,
so there's also another chemical they put in there that's like an adjuvant. It makes it stick to the plant and uptake to the plant. But to kill an apple tree, all you need is literally one drop of Roundup to get on one leaf of an apple tree. And the only reason I know this is I know a crop farmer, a place I was working out in Colorado, and the wind was blowing out of the north, and he was spraying his Roundup. And he basically destroyed about 70% of an apple orchard that was a mile south of him. And it turned into like a $7 million lawsuit. And the federal crop insurance just paid for it. So the apple guy made out really good because he was struggling. He just took the money and, you know, now it's actually fields that, that guys are just putting Roundup Ready, you know, whatever on the apple orchard. You know, just a few apple trees left. But it's so powerful that all you need is to get a little bit of Roundup on one. So, but the problem with Roundup is a lot of the weeds are becoming resistant to it because it's just the way nature works. So now the maximum recommendation of Roundup is like a, 96 or 150 something ounces per application per acre. And those guys are literally putting 200 and 300 ounces of Roundup per application on their corn to really kill the weeds. And what happens is genetically modified corn. And Roundup was basically came out of Agent Orange. So the fungus, the gene splicing that they're doing with corn came out of essentially a pit in Springfield, Massachusetts, where the Monsanto Corporation was dumping Agent Orange, and they found this fungus growing in there. So they spliced this fungus into the corn, and it works just how they want it. But what happens is corn, Roundup Ready corn, takes the glyphosate, and it puts it in a protein molecule, encapsulates it in a protein molecule, and it deposits it where it deposits protein.
Hmm.
Where's the protein in the corn? It's in the kernel.
And so that's just going
to... So now when your body consumes that corn, the enzymes in your body break down that protein membrane that is encapsulated, the glyphosate, and then now your body is absorbing and digesting and dealing with a mineral inhibitor, and therefore your body is not able to uptake minerals. So everything that you're consuming is less bioavailable. And I believe Roundup, for this particular reason, is a major reason why, like, the nations of the world that use Roundup have the fattest people in the world. And also, you know, the fact that all the stuff that makes you fat comes from, you know, Roundup Ready beets, Roundup Ready corn, you know, your high fructose corn syrup, your sugar, all that stuff. So, yeah.
And that's where the gluten allergies and everything come from as well, no?
I believe that, too. I'm always thinking, why would it be that I can't eat something that humans have been eating for thousands of years? Why would that be the case? It's probably just something that they're doing to it now. It's probably that they're spraying it or...
Yeah, so definitely gluten is full of Roundup because when they, just before they harvest wheat, like 2 weeks before they harvest wheat, they use Roundup as a desiccant.
Desiccant.
Yeah. And to dry off the wheat. And they do this to increase the yield.
I think Ernie Hancock and his show, they were the ones to break that news.
Well, I broke that to Ernie.
Oh, you broke it to him. Okay,
because when I was working in Colorado, why are they spraying Roundup on the wheat?
Yeah, so get this, what they're doing to get, you know, higher yields by drying it out, you know, so it goes to market and it's like dry. They were actually killing the wheat with the glyphosate.
And the reason they're doing that...
You're getting like a really high dose of it in the product. So, you know, it's crazy. It's absolutely... Yeah.
So it has to do with the process. So the machine that harvests the wheat is called a combine. So a combine takes and it strips the wheat off the chaff. And then it drops all the chaff on the ground, which is your straw, and then it takes all of the wheat kernels, the wheat berries, and it puts them into what they call a tank. And if the wheat is green, what'll happen is it won't separate the wheat from the chaff. The wheat berries will go right out on the ground with the straw. And if you have any weeds in the field, so there's this weed called binder weed, which I pulled out of the combine before because I worked on, we did wheat harvest. My stepfather, actually, he did not spray any Roundup on his wheat because he had an exclusive contract for certified glyphosate-free wheat. And it was all going to animal feed. And they were paying, like, you know, $3 more a bushel for this wheat. So he just didn't spray on it. So what we had to do was actually walk in front of the combine and pull these weeds that would, because we didn't want the combine sucking them up. But this one particular weed was called binder weed, and we're literally got an oxygen acetylene torch and, you know, cutting dikes, wire cutters, to cut these binder weed out of the combine. It was really difficult. So we just started walking ahead of the combine and just, you know, picking the weeds because, and he didn't do like a lot of, he just did his corners of his fields in wheat. He didn't do you know, tens of thousands of acres. He maybe did like, I don't know, 300 acres in total. But, so it's definitely, you know, a difference. And if you look at gluten under a microscope, and the guy who told me about this was a seed and chemical rep for Cargill Agriculture. So Cargill is basically a Monsanto company.
Hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah. He goes, I won't eat anything that has wheat because if you look at gluten under a microscope looks like a ball of rubber bands, and it is just a perfect place to hold on to glyphosate. And they spray it pretty heavy on the wheat, 2 weeks before they harvest it, so it's dry and crunchy, so they are able to get all of the wheat out of the combine. And, you know, out of the straw.
That's terrible. It's just really evil stuff. And a lot of people don't know that George Washington Carver, who you learn in school, oh, he just made peanut butter. Don't look any further. Well, he was all about, hey, guys, I see this trend towards nitrates and or whatever it is that they, nitrites, whatever it's called, that they use for fertilizer. I'm seeing this trend towards fertilizer and pesticides. We need to stop this, and we need to go to, basically, he was describing regenerative farming, and nobody listened to him, and they kicked him out of his college he worked at in Alabama. But I really believe in all that stuff, but I want to know about why Danny moved to Mexico, because you're an American, right, Danny?
Yeah, I didn't move to Mexico. Oh. I'm nomadic, so I live half the year in the U.S. and half the year down here. I make my way back to Austin whenever there's a hailstorm, because I'm a roofing contractor. And the rest of the time, I'm just traveling around trying to do stuff.
I was wondering do you feel more free in Mexico? It's kind of a topic we've been talking about here on the show.
Yeah, in some cases, you know, not always. There's a presence, a military presence everywhere, although they don't mess with you, but, you know, it's still troubling.
It's more for show, in my opinion.
Hmm.
Yeah, and crooked cops. I mean, I don't worry about being robbed by anybody that doesn't have a badge.
Huh.
So. Yeah.
I've heard, like, they'll pull you over.
That happened a few times. I prefer the
paying the bribes to paying tickets.
The thing,
more upfront,
yeah,
same thing.
You don't have to go to court.
Yeah, you don't have to go to court. I mean, there's points on a license. It's way better. I mean, it's annoying, and it's like it sucks that even that happens. Yeah. But it's just way better, and it's not even that expensive necessarily. And you can just argue with them too. And if you know what you're doing, and you know kind of what your rights are and what situations you're in, I've seen people argue with the cops in Mexico, and the cop just get fed up and walk away.
Even like white Americans.
Yes. I've seen people do it. So it's, if you know how things work, you can
I've had them, you know, you tell them, I don't have any cash, I only have a credit card. If the bribe is big enough, they will follow you to the ATM. They've done that to me, so.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Awful.
But, you know, the reason why, as far as Anarchapulco, you know, I've been to all of them. I started coming in 2015, and over the last 5 years, I guess, I've been working with Anarchapulco, scheduling everything and getting the crypto going and working with the orphanage and just doing all the different outreach stuff that we actually do in the community around there. Colin and Jay helped me out quite a bit with that. We went out one day and did some stucco work on a guy's house. One of the taxi drivers for Anarchapulco, his house was damaged in the hurricane.
His house was straight up leveled.
I went down there for that. Yeah, his house was pretty jacked up. And
I've been meaning to ask.
Put some money together.
I've been meaning to ask you.
Put money together and build that, rebuilt his house, and they're almost done with it now. So
was he in the house when it got blown away, or did they out?
No, they left. They went and hid in the car.
Okay. The whole family was in the car.
The whole family hid in their car to ride the hurricane out, and it leveled, it leveled his son's house that was right next to it, and then his house was just mangled. It was just made out of, like, coconut boards and stuff like that, and we put the money together. Basically, Rebecca from Anarchapulco and myself, we donated money, and then the Otis Fund from Anarchapulco, the Hurricane Otis Fund, matched what we donated, and that built the house up to where it was. So there was still about 25% left to go on the walls, and we raised money with the auction to finish that up and to get him his roofing materials. So when I left Acapulco a couple of weeks ago or whatever, like right after you guys did, I think the same time you guys did, I had went over to his house and delivered two truckloads of sand for him so that the concrete guys could get back on building the walls and stuff. So he had all the materials there. He just had to get the guys to do the rest of the work. But man, you guys showed up, and we had the little kid from Norway was helping us as
Gustav.
Well. So. And he was, yeah, man, he was better. He was a
little entrepreneur,
Colin, actually.
Isn't he the little entrepreneur that made the cup you gave me?
Yeah. I gave Bonnie a couple of coffee cups because I bought Gustav. I bought all his swag he didn't sell.
Nice.
And, after it all.
So 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.